Yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We bless the Lord. For he's good. And his mercy endures forever. Thank you, Jesus. We are continuing our theme. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we felt led to conclude our seminar on today. Financial success for your family. What in the world does that have to do with the Holy Spirit? Good question. Amen. I'm glad you asked. Our key scripture is for this study. We believe the Lord gave us is St. John, chapter number 4. And thank you all. Thank you for those who are supporting our Super Bowl Sunday. It looks like it's a pretty good amount of soup. They might not be on the right side, but it seems like it's now that's just my opinion. I'm just one man. But it seems like it's at one side it's kind of got two levels going. But let not your heart be troubled. So the soup might stack up on Seattle side. I'm going to leave that right there. we don't put our hope in Denver or Seattle. But I'm kind of leaning toward Denver. Me, personally. I'm speaking as a man. All right. But, amen, we enjoy just the fact that we're helping somebody by donating that soup to one of our partner agencies who they give out food a little more frequently than we do, so they have a food bank. So we're just going to give this into their food bank. I believe if you bless others, God will find a way that the blessing will come back to you. Amen. It's not that we do it to get blessed, but it's just the way that it is. Amen. And especially if we're helping people who don't have. All right? All right. John 4:24 in the Amplified, it says, God is a spirit, a spiritual being. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, reality. I believe that everything that we do in our life, since our life belongs to God, is an act of worship. Because I think I read somewhere in the scriptures around the 12th chapter of Romans that the Apostle Paul was instructing that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, or one reference says our spiritual act of worship. And since we understand from the scriptures that God is spirit, he is a spirit, and we believe that the scripture also lets us know that God is love. And God's love demonstrated, he is love, because he is love, I believe he has a track record of giving. God is a giving God. We can trace the love of God in action in the earliest records, I believe, that we have of God, because he has no beginning. and he has no ending, so we can't find the beginning of his existence because he has always existed. He is the eternal God. But when we look at God's story, history, as God has revealed it to us in his word, we can track God, we can track the Spirit of God, we can track the love of God in action. When we look at the account of creation in the Bible, as it's recorded in Genesis, we can see God's principle and practice of giving. I believe we can see it if we look. He gave the earth. In the creation account, God gave the earth everything that was necessary to sustain life. He separated the waters from the waters. If you read the Genesis account, he furnished the plants. He furnished the trees. He furnished the different vegetation that had the seed within itself. So God was giving just by him speaking those things to existence. He was, in my mind, furnishing the earth with everything that was needed for the existence of life. He made the animals. We know this. God created the animals. He created the sun. So he gave the sun, the moon, and he gave the stars. Right? He gave them. And I think at one place he said, let them be for signs and let them be for times and let them be for seasons. If you recall reading, anybody recall reading the Genesis account? Okay, good. But this was God giving. All right. And the Bible says that God formed man out of the dust of the ground. Right? Yeah. And then God did something. He breathed into man. So God breathed. He gave man the breath of God. God gave it to him. Right? And the scripture says that man became a living soul. So God, from his earliest track record, has been giving. And then God went further along, and he gave Adam, the man who he gave life to, he gave Adam the honor and the privilege to name all the animals. Because God could have named them himself. But he gave that privilege and honor to Adam. So there's a pattern that is developing in my mind. That's the pattern of the Spirit of God giving. Even the fall of man in the garden didn't stop God from giving to and for man. Even when man fell, when man blew it, that didn't stop God from giving. What did he give? Well, first of all, God sacrificed something in that garden, killed something in that garden. He killed an animal, to be more specific. God killed an animal and made the man and his wife coats of skin. So God was still giving. Now the sacrifice in the garden was pointing to the ultimate sacrifice for all of mankind, and that's the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus the Christ. Amen? So Genesis 3:21, I'll read it. You don't have to turn. Genesis 3:21, it says, for Adam also and for his wife, the Lord God made long coats, tunics of skins and clothed them. So God gave them clothing after they had disobeyed. God still gave. And then God sent them out of the garden. I believe it was love that motivated God to give. That's what I believe. When we track the record of God, I believe it was love that motivated him to give. Very, very familiar scripture. You might even see it. Well, you used to see it at football games. I don't know what happened to that brother, but you might see it at the Super Bowl when you watch it. What time did it come on? Huh? 3:30? Okay, when's the pregame? All right, so 3:30. All right, don't worry. We won't be here by 3:30. All right. Some of us won't even be here by 1 o'clock because the Spanish service is at 1. But that very familiar scripture shows the love of God. You know it. It's John 3:16. Turn to it. Turn to it. So God, now time will not permit us to cover all the things that God gave throughout the history of the children of Israel, even before Israel was a nation, after. But let's just key in on a few things, because I want to talk about the spirit of giving. The spirit of God is the spirit of giving. That's a subtopic, I guess, to conclude our week's activities. All right? Love motivated God to give. The Bible says in John 3:16, For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten, unique Son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on him shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life. So we see the love of God personified and manifested in the giving of himself as Jesus Christ to die for our sins. God so greatly loved, he dearly prized the world. He, fallen mankind, that's what God gave Jesus for. The fallen ones, right? But God loved us even though we were in fallen condition and sinful condition. He loved us. Just a point of information. When we look at the Old Testament or the Old Covenant, it can be divided into some categories. You have the law, that's from Genesis through Deuteronomy. Then you have history, that's Joshua through Esther. You have poetry and wisdom, that's Job through Song of Solomon. Then you have major prophets from Isaiah through Daniel, and then you have minor prophets, Hosea through Malachi. Now, I believe in looking and doing some research, I believe that the principle and practice of tithing, as I read and understand the Bible, was before the law, the principle and practice of it. Because in my personal research, I even found out that there are records in Egypt of even the Babylonians and the Greeks tithing before Abraham even tithed. I found that to be interesting. But Genesis 14, we are very familiar with Genesis 14 and 20. After the battle that Abraham won, the priest of God, who was Melchizedek, he met him. And the Bible says that Abraham gave him a tenth of all that he had taken. He gave him a tenth of all that he had taken. And then Genesis 28 and 22, Jacob is talking to God, and he says in verse 22, "And this stone, which I have set up as a pillar, monument, shall be God's house, a sacred place to me, and of all the increase of possessions that you give me, I will give the tenth to you." Now that actually happened before the law was given. So there's a question that comes to my mind. Where did they get that practice from? And we don't know. Have you ever heard a preacher have the courage enough to say, we don't know? But I'm telling you, we don't know. We don't know. Mm-hmm. So I believe that it was because of gratitude that Abraham and both Jacob tithed before there was a law about tithing. Now consider everything that God has done, not only for Jacob or Abraham or even the children of Israel, but bring it up to 2014. What has God done for us that we're grateful of? Now, I think I quoted a scripture when we were receiving our offering, and it's Psalms 24 and verse number 1. The Amplified says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it, the world and they who dwell in it. Now that's from the book of poetry of the Old Testament. You know, one of the books of wisdom is Proverbs, and Proverbs says in the 9th and 10th verse of the 3rd chapter, it says, honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency from righteous labors and with the first fruits of all your income. So shall your storage places be filled with plenty, and your vats shall be overflowing with new wine. So there's a principle and a practice. There's a principle and a practice. Again, tithing. We don't teach tithing through scare tactics. We don't do that. We don't try to manipulate people or strong arm people. And let me state again for our viewing audience that you will not be sent to hell if you don't tithe. But we believe that everything belongs to God, since the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now we understand that we have been bought. We who are saved have been bought with a price. What was the price that was paid for us? Huh? It was the blood of Jesus Christ. We understand bought and paid for, don't we? That means bought and paid for. That means whoever bought us and paid for us owns the exclusive rights to us. So there's a spirit. There's a principle. Now, this is my iPhone 5S. Well, this actually wasn't bought. They gave me this phone when I bought my wife's phone. So actually, you might as well say it was bought, because it was a deal. In order for me to get the free one, I had to buy hers and bring her over to my, I'm not going to say the name of the carrier, but I had to bring her over to my carrier. But this is in my hands. It's the price was paid. Whatever agreement that the carrier made in order for me to get this phone, I met that agreement. So that means I have all rights and privileges to this phone. I can use it. I can call it. This phone can't tell me, well, and see, the plan I have is unlimited. I'm not limited to minutes or whatever, right? I can do with this phone what I want. But I won't abuse this phone. The Lord owns us. He will not abuse us. He will not mistreat us. He will not manipulate us or cause us to be manipulated. I won't do that. I'll say amen to that. I will not do that. But I believe that this was a practice and principle. But when I consider where I was when God found me, when I consider the awfulness and the pit that I was in, me personally, when I consider how lost I was and the fact that I was on my way to be eternally separated from God, and my destination at that time was hell. And I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I heard the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever, and I'm glad I was in the whoever, believes in him should not perish, should not be eternally lost, but have everlasting life. I accepted what God gave. I accepted what God gave, and I acted on the belief I have in his word. And not only did God give Jesus, he gave the Holy Ghost. I repented of my sins. I changed my mind, changed my heart, changed my direction, and God gave me salvation. And I'm grateful. Now, I have experienced personally the blessings that comes with the practice and the principle of tithing. You all remember that time that I shared, and my wife and I shared, how we were living, was it West Boulevard? We were living on West Boulevard, and the window was open of our house, and the screen was in the window. There were no holes in the screen at that time, praise God. And all of a sudden, and the wind wasn't blowing hard, and I think we were in need of money, was it? Well, pretty much that time we were pretty much in need. But the wind was blowing, and we knew how much money we had. And then I have to say it was God, because on the floor was it stacks of 20s? It was stacks, yes. It was stacks of 20s. Now, I don't know to this day, other than God sent it, how that money appeared in that room. I don't know. I don't know. You ever heard a preacher say you don't know? Yes, I don't know. I don't know. I like to believe this is just me, because I'm very careful with my wallet, and I know I didn't have that money, and I know she didn't have it. But God saw to it that we got it. I don't know what God, I don't know everything that God does. I wouldn't stand up here and claim to say that I know. I am not an authority on God. There's nobody that's an authority on God but God. But the principle and practice, see, when I got saved, I was so happy to be saved. I was so in love with God that I didn't care what. I was just so happy to be saved. And because of my love and gratitude for God, I embraced the principle and the practice of not only tithing but coming to church, and working in the church and trying to please God. But what I'm trying to say is that the principle has worked in my life. The principle and the practice. Not by somebody forcing me to do it. Because, listen, you can't force someone to do what they're not able to do. Or you shouldn't force someone to do what they're not able to do. But God saw my heart, and he saw that I had a desire to worship him in the area of my giving, and he moved me from minimum wage to several steps along the way. And God, even, now this is something I believe. I remember in certain places in the scripture, Paul said, I'm speaking as a man, right? So now this is something that I believe. Even when I did not apply the proper stewardship principles to the money that was still in my hands. Huh? You see where I'm going? Even when I didn't apply the proper stewardship principles to the things that were left in my hands after I had given my tithing and my offering, and sometimes I didn't operate in proper steward principles with the remainder, but God has still blessed me. He has. I'm not homeless anymore. You all can look at me and tell I don't miss too many meals. But I'd like to believe it's because of the principle and practice. Now, it's the motivation behind the giving. I don't give because I'm compelled or commanded to give. I give because I love God. I don't want anybody in this assembly to give because you're compelled or commanded to give. I want you to give because you love God. When you think about all that God has done, when you consider where you were or where you could be now, not just geographically where, but spiritually where, emotionally where, mentally where, and you think about the mercies of God. God renews mercies to us every morning. God is watching sometimes when we're not even watching. God, in his grace and in his mercy, not only does he give, not only when Jesus was on the earth did he have angels ministering to Jesus, believe it or not, God has ministering angels for us. He does. But when we consider all of that love that God bestows upon us, his protective love. Sometimes God will keep us from getting into some stuff that we really ain't got no business getting into, but our flesh is pulling us in that direction, and God sometimes will intercede. When we think about that, and how many times have we done something that was out of the will of God, and God brought it to our attention again, because he brought it to our attention. Those of us who were saved, he brought it to our attention before we did it. But some of us have the audacity to supersede in our own minds, well, I'm just going to do this. And then we go ahead and do it, and then God, with his cords of love, tugs on our hearts and says, now, you know you shouldn't have done that. And then God, He massages our heart. God gives us grace. God gives us a tool even to use in grace. And the tool that God gives us along with his grace is time to get it right. So God gives us grace. God gives us time to get it right. And then when we get it right and we confess and we acknowledge it, then God turns around and gives us forgiveness. Because he has already said in his word, if we confess our sins, that he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that personally I've been blessed by the principle and the practicing not only of tithing but of giving. I've been blessed. So in conclusion, Don't give if your heart's not in it. Don't. Keep it. Because it won't do you any good if your heart is not in it. Don't give because you feel forced. Don't. But let your love and gratitude and appreciation motivate you in giving unto God. You know there are people in the world who tithe. You don't have to be saved to tithe. But the practice and the principle works. I believe our instructor told us about Ethan Allen. Ethan Allen, big furniture magnate, he tithes. And for those of you all who were here, you all heard him say, I'm repeating what I heard, just in case the lawsuits. But you all know, he said that he tithes to the satanic church. The principle works. The principle works. But don't give because you feel forced or compelled by whatever. We don't want you to give under pressure. All right? Now, I have a question. And concluding, I said I was concluding, right? All right, so I have to hurry to the conclusion because I don't want to be. But I asked myself a question. What did Jesus say to the Pharisees about tithing? I found something in Matthew 23:23. Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, the religious pretenders. Here's what he said. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, pretenders, hypocrites, for you give a tenth of your mint and dill and cumin and have neglected and omitted the weightier, more important matters of the law, right and justice and mercy and fidelity. These you ought particularly to have done without neglecting the others. So Jesus was confronting them because they were tithing. They were tithing, but they were leaving off love. They were leaving off mercy, and they were leaving off justice. So they were tithing, but their heart wasn't right. This is why it leads me to believe it's the condition of our heart that matters to God. And Jesus did say, he said, you need to do that. And don't neglect the others. So Jesus didn't tell them not to tithe, but he said, you need to neglect. Yeah, do it all. Luke 11:4, same thing. 11:42, but woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every little herb, but disregard and neglect justice and the love of God. Those you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. So the principle and practice of tithing through my personal experience, me, Marcus Jackson, through my personal experience, I've been blessed for it. I've been blessed. Again, you will not go to hell if you don't tithe. Hear me clearly. But everything we do, I believe, especially for those of us who are saved, should be out of love for God. Because that's why he gave himself as Christ. So love should reciprocate love. Amen? All right. I'm going to stop right there and move into our communion portion. Even in the giving of himself, remember Jesus spoke, he said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to give my life as a ransom for many. Consistently, God is giving. Consistently, God is giving. So I believe if we have the Spirit of God, then we have the nature of God. And God, again, is love. And the Spirit of God is a giving spirit. And I believe we do. We do, all of us who have the Spirit of God, we have a giving spirit. I really believe that. I really believe that. I really do. So let us not be weary in well-doing. Now, if you don't agree with this teaching, I love you. You can't do nothing about it. Even the apostles had disagreements. Right? We ain't gonna fall out. Right? We're not gonna fall out. Well, I ain't. I'm not gonna fall out. And I read something in the scripture that kind of made me chuckle. Paul said something. He said, "For now we know in part." Huh? We know in part. So even what I think I know, even when I think and I know that I'm right about it, I know in part. Yeah, now, I think that's in Corinthians. Yeah, it's somewhere in that 13th chapter. For now, we are looking in a mirror that gives only a dim, blurred reflection of reality, as in a riddle or enigma. But then when perfection comes, we shall see in reality and face to face. Now I know in part, imperfectly, but then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I have been fully and clearly known and understood by God. So whatever I know, and I told you, I'm no authority on God. That's not the qualifications for a servant leader, to be authority on God, because God is the only authority on God. Now I know in part. But as I read and understand, and as the Spirit of God gives me the enlightenment, I share. But most importantly, I want to live it. Because when it's all said and done, I'm going to have to stand before God. I'm going to have to stand before God. And God, everything that I give to you, whether it's time, talent, touch, or treasure, is because I love you. Right? Because we want the offerings of ourselves to come up before God as a sweet smelling savor. And one of the things that I'm grateful for is I'm grateful to God that He has healed me from hurts. I shared a little bit about some of the hurts, or one of the hurts, when I was a child. But there has been other hurts. And I'm grateful to God that He has healed me from them. And they were deep. And they were deep. And if I'm not careful, sometimes I have a tendency to, you know, okay. But then I have to remember, no, God healed that. He healed it. I'm grateful to God. So I give thanks to the Lord with a grateful heart. I give thanks to the Holy One. I give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ the Son. The song says, "And now, let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. Because of what the Lord has done." Give thanks. So when you give financially to support this ministry or any ministry, give thanks with a grateful heart. Amen? All right. We're going to move into our communion portion of our service.